Begin with this. The most common question that Rebbeim get asked, probably starting in high school all the way through many years in Kollel and thereafter, is why do we learn and spend so much time, so much focus on Gemara? Why is Gemara so primary? Why is it so essential? Why is it the focus of our day, focus of our starim? The yeshiva system, which was set up, I'm not talking about Yeshua in particular, but all the yeshivas, which was set up with a lot of chachma and a lot of eitz and hadracha from Gedolei Yisrael, put a prime focus on learning Gemara morning, afternoon, night. Why is that the number one limud? Why is it so essential? And really, you could break down the question into multiple parts. We're obviously not going to get to all of them, but let's at least understand what the question is, and let's validate the question as well. You can understand why learn Gemara instead of playing whatever the latest video game is, Madden, right? You could, why focus on Gemara? Why focus on Gemara instead of, you know, basketball and anything else? Which is more of a general question of why is Limud Torah so primary, so important? What's the why is it so essential? And that's not the question we're going to get to today at all. You could ask the question, why Gemara as opposed to math or science? If the whole yesod is just an intellectual pursuit, if the idea behind learning Gemara is just that it's very stimulating, so guess what? Math and science are also very stimulating. Just to bring out this question even more, when I was 20 years old, so I was in YU, and there was a particular, a very distinguished chashuv rav, and I'm not going to mention his name, and you'll see why in a second. A very distinguished chashuv rav was visiting YU, and in the side room next to the base measure, she got up to give a shiur about Talmud Torah in general. And after the shiur ended, one of his students asked him, "Why do we focus on Gemara so much?" And he said, "First of all, I don't really understand your question," which is the ultimate like off put for me at least. And then he goes, "I'll tell you why. Because it's something that you always keep on your mind. Gemara is endless. It keeps you busy for hours on end. It never ends. It's so much to think about. It's a perpetual pursuit that you're always involved with." I didn't say anything at the time, but I walked out of the room and I said, that's the dumbest answer I've ever heard in my life. If you ask a math professor, he'll tell you he thinks about math 24 hours a day. If you ask a baseball statistician, he'll tell you he's thinking about the latest algorithm and how to figure out how to make the most efficient team, right? Anyone could be thinking and constantly involved in pursuing something. So why Gemara? If you tell me why Gemara, the Gemara is just because it's the most intellectual stimulating, it's a pretty weak answer. You can ask why Gemara because it's hard. It's very hard. It's very difficult. It's challenging. The language is not easy. The style, the structure is not easy. It's not laid out on a silver platter, right? If you had to organize halacha, you would not organize it as a Gemara. That's obvious, right? Hence the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam, which were masters of organization, and they didn't do a dialectic. They didn't do a dialogue. It wasn't a back and forth. They presented it very simply in a very organized, systematic structure. So why do I have to focus on Gemara? It's too hard. And that question is both a challenge, get off my back, and it's also a real question. It could be a real question. Why? Rabbi Aaron Alevi, the Ra'ah, one of the Gedolei Rabbi Yishayin, was the Talmud of the Ramban. The Ra'ah was famous for his peirush on the Rashba's Torah Sabayis. Mir Tzashem, when you get to learn halacha, you'll notice the Rashba's Torah Sabayis comes up all the time. And the Ra'ah is the number one Bar Plukto of the Rashba, Talmud of the Ramban. And the Ra'ah wrote a separate sefer where he wrote a parish on the Rif. And in the introduction of the Ra'ah, the Ra'ah's introduction, talk about one of the Rishonim. We're talking about the Baal HaMisora, the biggest of the biggest, the greatest of the great, the highest of the high. The Ra'ah, in his introduction to his parish on the Rif, says the following. I even have it translated into English. And yet the ways of the Talmud are obscure, closed with a tight seal, and its matters are wearying, they make you tired, and not everyone is fortunate enough to have fixed daily and nightly periods of Talmud study. And because of their temporal travails, most learn Torah by hours and moments, and many need short summaries and orderly codes, such as find favor in their eyes. These things find favor in their eyes, like radiant sapphires. Beautiful. Right? The Ra'ah, the Gedolei Rishonim are telling you, learning Gemara is hard. It's not easy. It requires hours, it requires difficult time sitting down both by day and by night. And to delve in, it makes you fatigued and pressured. So why, if it's so difficult that the Rishonim themselves are pointing out that it's hard, and therefore the Ra'ah is telling you the Rif did us a tremendous tova by summarizing the Gemara, let's just learn the Rif. Let's make it easier. Why are we focusing on Gemara? It's a third way you could present the question. The other way is to say, why Gemara instead of? Why do I have to learn Gemara instead of Tanakh? Tanakh is the Dvar Hashem, it's the Word of God, right? Straight out of the mouth. Shouldn't I focus first on Tanakh? Doesn't the Mishnah Pirkei Avos tell me, but in Chumash the Mikra, right? Esel the Mishnah, and only when you get to 15, Tazvav, you get to Gemara. So why? There's an order to things. You start with the Chumash, you start with Tanakh. Why am I starting with Gemara? Why am I focused so much on Gemara? That's A. And B, aside from just the order, but wouldn't, if you had to put a priority on it, you'd probably prioritize Tanakh, you'd probably prioritize Chumash over everything. So shouldn't I spend my whole day, every free moment, I'll just open up Bereishis, I'll start from the beginning, every single Mefarish on Bereishis, and I'll make sure I understand Tanakh better than anything else. Or Mishnayis. Gemara is an elaboration on the Mishnah. I should know Mishnah first, right? Unfortunately, we don't grow up in a system, in a society where, you know, the average bar mitzvah boy in this country makes a siyum shas, mishnayis. That's standard practice here. Right? So the Baruch Hashem, they do it the right way. But we didn't do that, most of us. Didn't do it that way. I didn't do it that way. So why do we focus on the start of mishnayis? Why Gemara? Or better yet, if the whole purpose of a Gemara is to know what to do, you would think that the focus should be halach. Let me start with the, you know, Mishnah Berurah is too difficult, so start with the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, and I'll know all the different sections of Halacha. I'll spend my day learning Halacha, right? Nowadays we have a tremendous type, you don't even have to learn the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. You can open up any English book, right? Every single section of Halacha, you have it in English, right? Shabbos in 5 minutes, and the Kashrus book, the Kazayas book, you got it all! So I'll just spend my day, I'll make sure to get a wide array of English books, and I'll know exactly what to do every moment of every day. Every minutia, every moment of my day will be clearly depicted and described, and I'll know every single action I have to do. Isn't that a lot easier? Isn't that a lot more practical? Why do I have to know about Shor Shenage Chazapara? Last time I checked, I'm not a farmer, I don't own a shore, and I've never seen a para. Or Tamura, Krisus, these are like way out there. What's that Nogea to me? Halacha seems to be more pressing, more Nogea, more pressing. And the last way you could ask the question, probably a lot more, but if Gemara is so important, if Gemara is so essential, why wasn't it just written down? We know there's Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebaalpeh. Right. Why is Gemara structured as such? Why was it given over as Torah Shebaal Peh? Why was it formulated in the exact process that we have? We know the Gemara tells us in Erevin that Moshe gave out Torah Misinai. Moshe got Torah from Hashem. He got both Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebaal Peh. And then to start out the chain of Messiah, he made sure that the Messiah, the Rebbe-Talmud relationship, should begin all the way from the beginning. To make sure the Torah Shebaal Peh was so essential, what did Moshe do? He called an Aaron. And he's taught, Kol HaTorah Kula to Aaron HaKohen. Baal Peh. the Torah Shebaal Peh was already, the Masorah happened right away, and that wasn't enough. He wanted to make sure that there's a checks and balance system, so he called in Aaron's children. He taught to the Bnei Aaron, with Aaron there still. And then he teaches it to Kol Bnei Yisrael, that all of Klal Yisrael should already begin to get the Masorah, it should already be a Rebbe Talmud relationship. He calls in Kol Bnei Yisrael, and he teaches Kol Bnei Yisrael, Torah Shebaal Peh, the entire Torah. And then Moshe leaves. And then Moshe walks out. And then Aaron gets up. And then Aaron gets up and teaches everyone Kol HaTorah Kula. So you have two generations here. You have Moshe, and then Aaron, and then Aaron walks out. And then his children teach Kol HaTorah Kula to Klal Yisrael. So every single person in Klal Yisrael heard the Torah from Moshe Rabbeinu. And not only that, there was already a chain of Messiah. You had Moshe, Aaron, Aaron's children, and Klal Yisrael. So already from the beginning, there was a precedent of the primary focus of Torah Shebaal Peh should be handed down one to the other. A chain should already be created. And Torah Shebaal Peh was already so important from the beginning. Why wasn't it just written down? Wouldn't it have been a lot easier? Why did Hashem necessitate that there should be a Torah Shebaal Peh as well? It's a lot of different questions. Right? Set me up for 7 shiurim at least. But I want to focus on today. First of all, we should realize that all the questions are valid. Not only valid, are important. Right? It's very important to recognize that. When you approach sugyas and machshava, and people shoot you down right away and say, that's not a valid question, that's not a valid answer. Right? Questions are valid questions. You have to figure out. There's usually valid answers. There always are valid answers. But you have to appreciate the fact that asking the question of why Gemara is essential. It's important. It's something we should have an answer to. And a lot of us, for better or worse, usually for better, we go through countless years of our life where it's just implicit, it's understood, this is what we're going to do. When you go to high school, no one asks you why are we going to learn Bava Metzia now, why are we learning Bava Kama now? That's what we do. That's just what happens. And if you ask the Rebbe, or you ask the principal, maybe we should have Tanakh class instead of Gemara, we don't do that here. And for most people, for a long time in their life, that just becomes a reality, that's just the way we do it. And that's wonderful. But that's just the way we do it, doesn't last forever. A, it's a very immature approach to learning. It's a very weak approach to learning. That's just the way we do it. But aside from just being an immature and low-level approach, it also doesn't last. Because when people approach things of that's just the way we do it, when things become difficult and challenging, so that's no longer just the way we do it. When obstacles occur, if you have a good foundation, then you're able to withstand the difficult tests that will come in life. If you appreciate Gemara for what it really is and why it's so important, then you're able to use that appreciation that even when you're not feeling it, even when it's challenging and it's just not the right day, I'll be able to push through because I appreciate what I'm doing. Lahavdil, many, many, many years ago, when I was 14 years old, so the Chicago Bulls won their 6th championship, right? They won their 6th championship out of eight seasons. Michael Jordan won his 6th championship. And there was an amazing interview that Michael Jordan gave. He was being interviewed, if I'm not mistaken, by CBS. It was a couple weeks after the NBA Finals. It was 2 days after the parade. If I remember correctly, it was 2 days after the parade. I remember real well. And somebody asked Michael Jordan, interviewer asked Michael Jordan, he said, how was it? You're famous for having a tremendous work ethic. It was very well known that Michael Jordan was the first one in the gym. And when he was in college, in University of North Carolina, he used to practice free throws in an empty gym at 6 a.m. in the morning. And during the off season, it was well known in the summer that Michael Jordan would return to North Carolina to the university when no one else was around. And at the time, because he was a little nobody, the coach didn't even come. He rarely had a partner. He would sit in the gym with multiple balls and practice free throws hours on end. And the CBS anchor asked him, says, what drove you? What allowed you to push yourself to such an intense extreme to shoot free throws when it was the worst time of the year? It was absolutely no one was around. Like, what motivation did you have? And Michael Jordan gave an answer that I probably will never forget. Can't quote it exactly, but to paraphrase, Michael Jordan said, I always kept my eye on the goal. I always focused on the bigger picture. It wasn't easy. It wasn't enjoyable. In fact, I hated it every second along the way. But I knew that the difficulties that I'm encountering now is only going to make me better and help me eventually get to my goal. If you have a strong foundation and you know what you're playing for, if you have a strong foundation and you know what the ultimate goal is, then even when you don't enjoy the steps along the process, even when you're in the gym all by yourself in the middle of the summer and it's a million degrees and no one's there to help you to throw the ball back to you, you're able to push through and accomplish. So the questions of why Gemara is not only a nice question that, you know, a challenge to the Rebbe of like, just get off my back. But if you really want to make a kinyan, if you really want to make it a part of who you are in the long run, that even when life gets difficult, and it will, and it gets challenging because it will, and you want to have that foundation to rely upon, and you have the goal to focus upon, you need to develop it now. Now's the time to ask the question, now's the time to get at least some answers. So let's understand. What's so special about Gemara? What's so unique? Why is it so important? So one answer you'll find, and it's a very important answer, is that halacha is a developing process. Shor Shenogeh Ches Hapara was a Mishnah in Baba Kama that was written 2,000 years ago. Yet the applications of that Mishnah, the nafkeminas, are negeya bismanazeh, perhaps the car. And the only way that you'll be able to know how to apply the halacha correctly and appropriately is if you go back to the sources and you really understand the svaras and what's behind it. And that's very true. And that's a very true sentiment. It's a very true statement. But it's very hard for the average person to tap into that. Because we're not poiskim. No one's going to ask me a shaila if I'm allowed to turn on my LED light on Shabbos or not. Is there a problem of havaras? I'm like, okay, I'm not going to get asked that. And if I had that kasha, I'll just ask my rabbi. I'll ask the poiskim. So if I'm not a poisik, and I don't think I'm ever going to get to be a poisik, but you should believe you could. But if you're not, I don't believe I'm not going to get there. That's not my calling in life. So what about now? The only reason to learn Gemara is to know how to paskin shailos. What about for the rest of us? So there is another idea. And that's not only for the poskim. The Gemara in Shabbos on Kuf Lamed Ches Lamed Beis says as follows: Tana Rabbanan, Kishenichnasu Rabboseinu LeKerem BeYavne. We know that the Sanhedrin left Yerushalayim; they went to Yavne. It was called Kerem BeYavne as a vineyard because they set up the Sanhedrin in the order of a vineyard. So when they went to Yavne, Amru Asina Torah Shetishtakech MiYisrael. Klal Yisrael are going to forget Torah. Vishlachti Rav Baaretz. There'll be a famine in the land. Lo Rav Lo Lechem. They won't be hungry for bread. Lo Tzom Lo Mayim. They won't be thirsty for water. Kim Lishmoyes Divrei Hashem. They'll be thirsty. They'll be hungry for the words of Hashem. People are going to forget Torah. Viksi Vino Miyam Ad Yom. They went from one sea to the other. Mitzofim Vad Mizrach Yishoytetu Levakesh Tzvar Hashem. They were beseeching the word of Hashem. V'lo yamotzu, and they didn't find it. Says the Gemara. That's the brisa. Says the Gemara, Dvar Hashem, zu halacha. What is the Dvar Hashem that they were lacking? What was the Torah that was forgotten? Halacha. They forgot halacha. They forgot halacha. And the Gemara in Gittin on Daf Samich tells us, Om Rabbi Yisamcha Bebeis, Om Rabbi Yechanan, Lo Kores HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bris Im Yisrael, Elish Bishvil Devarim Shebaal Peh, only for Torah Shebaal Peh, Shneemar, quoting a pasuk, Ki Al Pi HaDevarim HaEle Karati Itcha Bris Ves Yisrael. That the main bris that Hashem creates, the main relationship that Klal Yisrael has with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, is through Torah Shebaal Peh, specifically through Halacha. Rashi, the first Rashi in Bereishit brings this out very, very, very strong. Rashi brings this point out and it hits home very stark. Rashi says, he quotes the famous Medrash Omer Reb Yitzchak, L'hoyot tzorech l'aschus ha-Torah ela me'achidesh ha-Zelechem. What's the first mitzvah in the Torah? Ha-Chodesh ha-Zelechem. What's the first mitzvah ha-Chodesh ha-Zelechem? That's the first mitzvah Klal Yisrael as a nation are commanded. The first mitzvah is Chodesh HaZelechem. Frekt Rabbi Yitzchak Akasho Matam Posach B'Bereishis. So why did the Torah start with Bereishis? I can give you a very easy answer. What's the answer? Now what Rashi says. I want to know where the world came from. The Avos. All the Musar, all the Machshava of the Torah. Okay, there's a lot of reasons to start with Bereishis. The Ramban has the Kasha. But Rashi, the Medrash held it as a Shtark Kasha. Because Torah, the main focus of Torah, which Rashi accepts and Rabbeinu Bechai speaks it out very clearly, the main focus of Torah is Halacha. The main focus of Torah is Torah Shabbat Peh, specifically as it's expressed as Halacha. I know Torah Shabbat Peh has a lot of stories that God involved as well. There's the Kabbalah. There's a lot of Torah Shabbat Peh, other parts of Torah Shabbat Peh. But the main focus of Torah Shabbat Peh that the Gemara is referring to is the Halacha. And that's the main relationship, the main bris that we have with the Kadosh Baruch. Why is that? So it could be that the Torah Shabbat Peh on one level, when you learn through Torah Shabbat Peh, even if I'm not a Pesach, and I'm not planning on changing and paskening any day, but when I learn Hilchas Sittas, I appreciate the Halacha much more. Not because I understand the Tameh Mitzvos, but I understand what the Halachas are, and I understand where it's coming from. And the more I understand where it's coming from, the more I appreciate the Mitzvos that I'm given. We relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a Mitzvah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Avinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Malkeinu. Right, we relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in many, many ways. But the number one, the most primary way that a person really appreciates Hashem is probably as a mitzvah. He's the one that commands us. He's the one that dictates everything to do, every action, every day, every moment of the day. And instead of just making them dogmatic laws, this is what he wants me to do now, I want to appreciate that. I want to have a relationship with that law. I want to know Shabbos, not just because I have to do Shabbos, but I want to understand Shabbos so I can appreciate Shabbos. It should be a part of my life, something much greater, something much deeper. And that should apply not only by Shabbos, but by tzitzis, by tefillah. So I learn the halachas and I delve into it to gain a greater understanding, a greater appreciation for what I'm doing. And to one degree, that's taka very true. To one degree, that's taka very true. It's very correct. That the more that I learn the halachas, I remember very clearly, many times in my life, I remember very clearly when I was learning Hilchos Tefillah, my davening was a much better and deeper davening. But if that would be the only thing, I could probably accomplish that through Mishnah Berurah. I could probably accomplish that, at least to some degree, through learning Machshava. The Tanya writes a much deeper thing. Something that we really don't appreciate. We really don't appreciate, but it's extremely true. What does it mean when the Gemara says that we have the Krisas Bris with Klal Yisroel was Torah Shebaal Peh? So the Tanya writes about the first Lubavitcher Rebbe that every single time you open up a Gemara, every single time you learn Torah Shebaal Peh in particular, says the Tanya, it's Matan Torah all over again. It's a renewal of the Sinaitic experience. We're doing Har Sinai once more. And the more we learn, the greater our Matan Torah is. The Tanya tells us it requires a tremendous amount of Emunah. Because we not only have to intellectually understand that Torah comes from Har Sinai and comes from Hashem, but it has to be. We have to really be in touch with that Emunah. We have to really believe in that. It has to be natural. It has to be part of my daily life. That when I open up a Gemara, Amar Rachmana, Hashem spoke to me. This is Matan Torah once more. I'm getting it again. The Baruch Ber in the Kabinet Yeshiva, whenever he would open up a Gemara, he would always start with the Eibishter Had Kazot. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, he would start reading. Because if I'm in touch with that Emunah, if I really, really believe that Torah comes from Har Sinai, when I open up a Gemara, I'm standing at Har Sinai once more. And it's very deep, it's very hard to relate to, but at the end of the day, it's extremely true. It's extremely true. But let's make it a little more practical. Let's make it a little more practical. It doesn't only have to be in a proper application of halacha or a great appreciation of halacha. It doesn't only have to be a return to Har Sinai. Gemara, as we know, is the primary source of Torah Shebaal Peh. It's the primary source that we have of Torah Shebaal Peh. And there's a very big distinction when you tap into things in the primary source, when you tap into things from secondary sources and third sources, etc. If you want to really relate to something, if you really want to appreciate a movie, you're not going to appreciate the movie by reading the critics. And you're not going to appreciate the movie by reading a summary of the movie or seeing the trailers of the movie. The only way you're really going to appreciate the movie is if you watch it and you focus on it. It's the only way you'll really get it. When I was in high school, a friend of mine was extremely interested in becoming a journalist, and specifically a Hollywood journalist. He really, that was his calling in life. He wasn't from. And he really, really, he really felt connected to the movies. I remember when we were in 11th grade, and he came to school, and he had written up a whole long critique of some movie. I don't recall what movie it was. And he wrote up a long critique, and he sent it into the New York Times. And he was all excited that he received an email back from the editor of the New York Times. So in English class, the teacher got up in front of the class and he said, can you come, Yosef his name was, not. He said, Yosef, can you come tell us, what did you do? What was your process? So he says, I'll tell you the truth. I first went to the movie and I sat there with my big box of popcorn, and I started eating the popcorn. I watched the movie from beginning to end, and I realized, as long as I had the popcorn in my hand, I couldn't fully focus. There was the crunching, and there was this going on, and that, I just couldn't focus. So you know what I did? I went to the movie a second time. Don't worry, I paid twice. I went to the movie a second time, and I sat. I went at a time that it was an empty theater, and I sat there, focused on every single thing that went on in the movie, and all of a sudden I noticed lines that I didn't hear the first time. The music in the background made such a difference, and I really got into the whole experience of the movie. If you want to really appreciate something, you got to focus on the source. Without distractions, or without ulterior motives, you got to really get into it. And you have to have that personal relationship with the sources. Rav Moshe Shapiro writes in his introduction, he has a haskama that he wrote to Akiva Tatz's book, Living Inspired. Great book. Well worth the read, well worth the time. And Rav Moshe Shapiro wrote a haskama in Hebrew. Most people that pick up the book are only looking at the English. They forget about the haskama in Hebrew. It's haskama anyways, who reads haskamas. And Rav Moshe writes there something that is absolutely amazing. He says there's a tremendous toeles, a great benefit for everyone to read these great concepts that we're going to discuss here in Hebrew, in English. Because there are people that can't tap in to the sources, they can't connect to the primary source, and they're going to miss it altogether if it's not presented the way that Akiva Tatz, my student, is presenting it. Akiva Tatz is one of Ramesh Shapiro's biggest talmid, most well known. He's a tremendous, tremendous orator, tremendous speaker, and a great thinker, a very deep thinker. And he praises Akiva Tatz as a tremendous student. But in the second paragraph, he throws in there, like kilach eryad, like underhandedly, he throws in there, goes, but if you really, really want to get it, if you really, really want to understand everything going on, you got to go back to the sources. Because as great and as important and as necessary as it is for all of us to read it in English, because we're not going to get there in Hebrew, so if you don't understand it in Hebrew, you're missing something. Something's lost in the translation. You're missing something. Rav Gifter wrote in his introduction to Art Scroll, when he was praising the greatness of Art Scroll, and he really, really was praising the greatness of Art Scroll. And he writes there, that's wonderful and amazing, but if people only read the English and they don't understand the Hebrew and they don't tap into the Hebrew, there's something lost in translation. And you're never going to fully get it. So Gemara is our primary source of Torah Shebaal Peh. It's where it all comes from. All the Sifrei Machshava are based on the Gemara. All the Sfarim in general are based on the Gemara. But I think there's a step much, much deeper than that. Much, much greater than that. And this is really what I wanted to develop, really what I want to discuss. I guess we'll have to have part two. And that's the greatness of Gemara, the greatness of learning Torah in general, Gemara in particular, is not all the extra benefits that come out from it. The greatness of learning Torah is based upon a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, a Braisa in the sixth parak of Pirkei Avos. The Braisa tells us when you sit down to learn Torah, you have a personal conversation with the Shekhinah. When you sit down to learn, the Shekhinah is with you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sitting opposite the table with you. The greatness of learning, Gemara in particular, is that that's Hashem's words to us. That's Hashem's conversation with us. What is Gemara? What's Gemara all about? The Rambam writes in Hilchos Talmud Torah, the 11th parak, the Rambam writes that Gemara is understanding the svaros. It's understanding how to answer the contradictions in what's beneath the surface. Gemara doesn't have to be a Talmud Bavli. Gemara doesn't have to be a Talmud Yerushalmi. Gemara can be Mishnayos. Rashi in Brachos Daf Hey, similar words, says understanding the reasons behind the mitzvos. Not the tamei mitzvos, like we classically know the reasons behind the mitzvos, but understanding the logic behind the mitzvos. What's beneath the surface? Gemara is delving beyond just dogmatic, that means doing the actions as they're supposed to be done correctly, but it's understanding the logic that goes into it. And why is that so important? Why is that so necessary? Hashem gave us Torah and gave us a list of halachos, 613 mitzvos with all their practical applications. But it's not just to teach us how to live our life. It's not just a rule book. When I get a new board game, right, you buy Settlers of Catan, so you want to know how to do it, so you read the instructions. Wonderful, now I know how to play. You get busy and you play. The instructions are there to teach you what to do. Torah is that as well. It's an instruction book of how to live your life. Like the Mesillas Yesharim says, you're stuck in a maze, you want to know how to get out, the Torah teaches you how to get out. It's true. It's an instruction booklet. But it's not a list of random rules. It's not a list of random halachos. There's an underlying logic that connects the halachos. We know the Gemara tells us that you're not allowed to ask your Rebbe if he's learning one thing, you're not supposed to ask him in a different topic. Maybe Shemi Yigamke, maybe he'll make a mistake, he's not learning that. Comes along Rebbe Meir in Saita, and Rebbe Meir says that's not true. Rebbe Meir Shita, this requires a tremendous amount of hasbara, of explanation, but it's so beautiful. Rebbe Meir Shita says, you can ask your Rebbe anywhere and anything. Always. Why? It says Rebbe Meir, Kol ha-Torah kula inyan echad. The whole Torah is connected. I don't understand. Yevamos is connected to Baba Metzia, connected to Croesus. What's the Geshein? What are you talking about? They have nothing to do with each other. The answer is, Rav Hutner and Pachad Yitzchok has a beautiful, beautiful letter. Has a beautiful letter. It says, when you're learning Gemara, the words of Torah Sheba'al Peh are insignificant. When it comes to learning Torah Sheba'al Peh, Torah Shebichsav, when it comes to learning Chumash, every word you read is another mitzvah. The Vilna Gaon on Maseches Peah explains why is one reason he says, why is Talmud Torah connected Kulam? He says, it's very easy. It comes before Yom HaDin, and we know there's a scale. You want to get more mitzvahs. So says the Vilna Gaon, you know the easiest way to get mitzvahs? If you sit down and learn Torah Shebichsav, every single word is another mitzvah. You don't have to understand anything. Just read them. Every word is another mitzvah. Right? Let's assume you can read a word a second. I don't know. Right? After an hour, you got 3,600 mitzvahs. It's a pretty easy way to tip the scale. Talmud Torah connected Kulam. But that's not true by Torah Shebichsav. Torah Shebichsav, if you read through the Gemara page after page after page, Mishnah after Mishnah after Mishnah, and you don't understand anything, you didn't even learn one word yet. Torah Shebichsav, the Havana is the Iker. The Havana is everything. It's all about understanding. Many Gedolim explain, I heard this from Rabbi Lapiansky, the Rosh Hashiva of Yeshiva Gedol of Greater Washington. Brian Lichtenstein used to say this in Yeshiva's Har Etzion. Rabbi Shapira said it. Rav Hutner, my Rebbe told me, b'shem Rav Hutner as well. In Yeshivas, for years and years and years, they focused on learning Gemara Shak Levitaria. Say it outside. They didn't focus on repeating it word for word. What is the Gemara's kasha? What's the Gemara's teret? What's the raya? What's the kasha on the raya? who said this, who said that. But they didn't repeat it back word for word. Why not? And the Gedolim say, I'll tell you why not. Because the words are insignificant. The Havana is the Iker. The Havana is where it's at. The words are just a mechanism, it's just a tool, so you should be able to understand. You have to be able to read to understand what's beneath the surface. But the main thing is understanding what's beneath the surface. And Rav Huner in that letter says, why is it so important to understand what's beneath the surface? He says, because Torah is not a bunch of dictates, it's not a bunch of laws. But Hashem is giving us Sevaris. He's imparting upon us a piece of Himself. And the way that we can develop a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the way we can develop a relationship with Hashem is not through repeating His words, but it's understanding what's beneath the words. The mitzvos are there in order to understand Chochma Eloiki, to understand Hashem's wisdom. Torah Sheba'al Peh is our capability to realize and recognize what's beneath the surface and get closer to understanding what Hashem really is saying, what Hashem's really imparting upon us. Anoichi Hashem Eloikecha. The first of the Aseres Hadibros is Anoichi. The Gemara in Shabbos tells us, what is Anoichi? Ani ana nafshi kosmos yahavos. I, a piece of my nefesh, I wrote down and I gave to you. Torah is a way to tap into HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a way to relate and have that relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And through Torah Sheba'al Peh, through the Gemara in particular, that's the ultimate way to decipher the Sevaras and to decipher the Chachma, to decipher the wisdom that Hashem wants us to understand. The Rambam, and with this we'll end, because time is running out, even though there's so much more. The Rambam, in his introduction to Yad HaChazaka, the Mishneh Torah, wrote Sefer HaMitzvos. Rambam wrote a Sefer HaMitzvos where he counts every single one of the 613 mitzvahs. He outlines what it takes to be a mitzvah, and then he counts the mitzvahs Asei, the mitzvahs Lois Asei. So the Rambam in the third mitzvah Asei, he says, the third mitzvah Asei, mitzvah Shlishis Hishis Yivonu Lahavo Yisala, to love Hashem, Avas Hashem, Yahavtas Hashem Lekech. Vizeh, Shinis Bainim and Askim Mitzvahis of Upul Aisov. We should contemplate and understand mitzvos and Hashem's actions until we understand them and have an appreciation for them and have an ultimate tainuk. Fine. The Rambam quotes a Sifri. And the Sifri is bothered with the question that every single person from the beginning of time until now is bothered with. V'ahavta, love Hashem. How can you command me to love Hashem? It's an emotion. I can understand you telling me keep Shabbos. I can understand you telling me to daven. I can understand you telling me put on tzitzis, put on tefillin, have children. Those are mitzvahs. Okay, I understand there's such a mitzvah. There's an action involved. You're commanding me to love Hashem? Like, what does that mean? If I love Him, I love Him. If I don't, I don't. Zuk the Sifri, the Rambam quotes from Chazal, Lefi Shenemar Ve'Avtas Hashem Lokecha. Eini Yodea Ketzer Olav Amokum. How do I love Hashem? How did Hashem command me to do such a thing? Talmud Loimar Vayu Adivarim Ha'ele. Asher Anoich Mitzavcha Yoyim Alev Avecha. Learn Torah. Shemitoich Kach Atamakir Es Mishomar V'Hayo Olam. Through Libra Torah Vayu Adivarim Ha'ele. Through learning Torah, we gain an appreciation of Misha Omer V'Hayah Oyle. The Sifri is a haftach, it's a promise that if you learn Torah, through learning Torah, through Gemara, particularly Torah Sheba'al Peh, we can get an appreciation for our Kadosh Baruch Hu. We develop that language, we can develop that Ahava. It's a haftach, it's a promise. You want to know how to get the Ahava? I can't command you to love, but I can command you to learn. And if you really learn, the natural progression from that is an Avas Hashem. The natural progression from that is to have that relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The emotion is a davar ha'asim memel, it's something that automatically will come. Eizu derech ahava, so how do you reach that ahava? Well, you are davar ha'mele, learn Torah. So you want to know why Gemara? Why is it so important? The answer is because that's the ultimate way, the primary source to get to the Sevara. to get to the chachma behind the words, behind the dogmatic rules. That they shouldn't just be a set of rules, but there should be something much deeper, much greater that we can tap into. We should all be zeicher. Ad kan.